Previously on the Tony Kornheiser Show.
Come with me to the Olympics in 2020, whether my daughter's swimming or not. We can sit with the Ledeckis and enjoy that.
I just think it's so great. And then, it's going to have a medal chest, you know, with all these golds and silvers and bronzes. It's just a wonderful thing.
Is Stanford a good school? Or
academically, that's an okay school, right? Stanford?
Decent swim team,
too. I mean,
too.
I guess if you're going to be on a swim team, Stanford's as good as any.
It's a bit of a trade school, you know. But they're
it's out there in the West, right? Am I thinking of it? Is it Stanford?
No, it's Stanford.
Oh, Stanford.
The Tony Kornheiser Show is on now.
All righty. We're live at Chatter at the corner of Wisconsin Avenue Northwest and Jennifer Street Northwest in Friendship Heights in the District of Columbia. We have a great crowd on Friday. Applaud yourselves.
Look at that.
Much better than the rest of the week. We got Gary Braun. We have Kevin Sheehan. We have Michael Kornheiser. Nigel will produce. He will do the news. There are people here, a lot of people here from Chicago today, and people from Cooperstown, New York, residents of Cooperstown, New York.
Oh,
makes me
that?
Very happy. Wearing the Otisaga shirt makes me very happy.
Lake Otsego.
Lake Otsego. Yeah. Well, let me just point out for people who are wondering if the language in America has changed, it's not anonymous. It's anonymous.
Are you sure?
It's not anonymous.
No.
It's anonymous.
Anonymous.
No. And it's not. It's not an anonymous editorial. All editorials are anonymous. It's an op-ed piece. It's different. In fact, I think the phrase op-ed was coined at the New York Times for columns of opinion across the page from the editorial pages, which are never signed in any newspaper. This is an op-ed piece.
All right, I think it was Harrison Snowflake, Salisbury. Get off his back.
Harrison Salisbury, famous writer for the New York Times, I think came up with the actual phrase op-ed. It was not in existence in the 40s or 50s and 60s. Anyway, I point that out. We will talk about the game. Later in the show, of course, we'll talk about Burt Reynolds. We'll talk about the game last night. But I think Kevin is here, I think, to make an announcement of not quite earth-shattering importance, but earth-moving importance, right?
So
is this
excited.
About Hurricane Florence?
Hurricane Florence is out there. We've got to keep an eye on that.
Well, is it going to kill us?
It's not going to kill us, but your beach house may be washed away.
That would be very bad.
Repeat what you just told us.
That could be a problem.
Repeat what you told us that the GFS is presently showing.
The GFS the other night, and Doug Kammerer and some of my colleagues and I were talking about this last night.
But not Sheena anymore, because Sheena's going to San Diego.
Sheena's leaving.
Going to San Diego where there is no weather.
Right, it's been
80 and sunny every day.
You just record it
How
once.
How pleasant has Channel 4 weather been for the last few years early in the morning?
Now it's gone.
Lovely.
More Chuck Bell.
So anyway, Doug and I last night were talking, and a few of our colleagues. The GFS 18Z on Wednesday showed a Category 5 hurricane nailing Ocean City.
Ocean Maryland. City, Maryland.
Wow. Maryland. Not Ocean New Jersey. City. Ocean City, Maryland.
That's close.
But as most of us in the trade know, the 18Z is always a flawed run. You know
that. Of course.
And so it's
I say to people all
that.
The time, you're not going to believe the 18Z.
The 18Z is never right.
Can't play the exposition.
But Hurricane Florence is out there, and we're going to have to keep an eye on it because it has decreased in strength to tropical storm strength right now.
But
it will increase in strength as the week goes on. It will become a hurricane once again.
Well, it hits that warm water.
And
gets
somewhere
that
between the Carolina coast and the New York area, we could have landfall middle to late next week, or it could get sheared off by some of the winds and miss the Atlantic coast altogether,
well,
which is what you're
that.
Hoping for. Yes. The
Was
announcement.
That your announcement?
No, the announcement
is... Hold on. We wanted to get some appropriate music for you to really properly celebrate this. So let me just play this, all right?
There you go.
Stuck around. Phantom of the Opera.
I'll tell you what. The Phantom of the Opera has been this disastrous news guy you've had for the last couple of years. And so that's the announcement. I'm back to do news on the Tony Kornheiser show to replace the guy that's been doing it, who's been terrible, for how many years? You've missed me doing news, haven't you?
I've missed you tremendously.
Okay, good. What, you want the real announcement?
I'd like the real announcement.
I am joining all of the fired and forlorn in the podcast world. beginning today.
Beginning today.
Beginning today, I will start doing a podcast Monday through Friday, and it will be available. Nigel, where is it available? Google Play, iTunes, Stitcher.
Yeah, all the normal places.
You can get the Kevin Sheehan Show podcast.
That's fantastic.
That's what you're naming it, the Kevin Sheehan Show?
Well, that was what was recommended.
Okay.
Yeah, for search engine stuff. So that's what it's going to be called, and I'm going to record it every single day, or Monday through Friday. And it's going to be a lot of what I've done before. A lot of people are going to want to know if I'm doing it with Cooley. I'm not sure yet.
Right.
Because he never really has a plan. It changes every few hours. But
much like the guy in 1600 Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
What he says at 8 in the morning, it could be different at noon.
Yeah, what he tweeted out at 3 in the morning is completely different now. But hopefully Cooley will be a part of it. Tommy hopefully will be a part of it as well. But, you know, it's football season. It's high season. I don't want to go dark.
Can I ask you it is a personal favor.
Yes.
Would you consider doing a pregame show here at Chatter?
Yes.
Every once in a
while. I will consider that.
Cuz that will draw a crowd for us and that will make it easy for us.
How do you figure?
Oh, I think people would want to be around Kevin when he does the pregame. I do.
That's an interesting take.
It's an interesting take.
I'm hopeful.
Any data to back
Wouldn't
that
you
up?
People want to be around Kevin?
I saw some guy nod. One guy nodded.
There we go.
Yeah,
there we go.
Sort of tepid applause.
It was delayed. It was a delayed response. But, you know, here's the thing about being fired and forlorn.
Yeah.
I get to hang out with you more often.
That's fantastic.
We're thankful for that.
Makes
us very Nigel's
happy.
Not happy about it, but I'll be reviewing his news.
So I was wrong on PTI, and Chuck Todd was wrong here. I thought Atlanta would win last night. First two times they had the ball, and the game was delayed about 45 minutes.
Yes.
For rain in Philadelphia. By the way, outside of my house, there was a lightning storm. We got no rain whatsoever. Mm. And I heard no thunder, but I saw a lot of lightning outside my house. I think the same thing happened at the Nats Park, too. A lot of lightning, but I don't think there was any rain. Anyway, I got this thing wrong. Atlanta, I felt that the combination of Matt Ryan and Julio Jones would win that game. And in fact, the first two times Atlanta got the ball, Julio Jones was on the receiving end of some big passes, but Philadelphia didn't let him in.
Right.
All night, Matt Ryan 1 for 5 in the red zone, scoring touchdowns. I mean, there's a statistic that was on SportsCenter today that Matt Ryan in the last 3 years to Julio Jones inside the red zone is 1 of 20. 1 of 20.
Well, he only had 3 touchdowns last year, Julio Jones.
It's just...
And I saw a stat...
They turned him away. And Philadelphia... And this is really good news for Philadelphia, because Philadelphia had no offense, and Foles is... Foles did nothing for them. It was not the Super Bowl. Don't you think this is really good news for Philadelphia, the way they played?
Yeah, I thought, actually... I had no particular rooting interest other than being a Redskin fan. I like to see Philly lose. I thought Chuck was probably... on the right side of that, technically and statistically, it just didn't work out for him. And, of course, it went down to the last play.
As it did in the playoffs, too.
As I said to you guys before the air, it felt watching it like what a preseason game would look like if the starters played four quarters.
It was a terrible football game.
Yeah,
I mean, it was really
timing was
awful.
I mean, the lines for these QBs, Matt Ryan, 21 of 43 for 251 and a pick, no touchdowns.
Foles is terrible.
Foles, 19 of 34 for 117 and a pick.
117.
And nothing to speak of running either. I mean, Jay Ajayi led everyone with 62 yards.
Steve Young's position on the National Football League now is this. Because nobody plays in these exhibition games or cares about these exhibition games. The first 3 to 4 games of the season are these very poorly played games. And the team you see in game 10 does not resemble at all the team you see in game 1 and 2. Do you have that sense?
Week 1 is typically pretty bad football. But last night I thought it was even bad by week 1 standards.
Yeah.
There must have been 15 drop passes in the game. And Gary, you've got all the stats up because you're a stats reader.
Of course.
What were the penalties last night?
I don't have it in front of me. I believe there's 26 of them.
It was awful to watch. But my favorite, Tony, was Don Van Natta's tweet, and this was true if you were watching the game, and you probably weren't asleep
penalties.
By now, by this point. But he said, number one, raise your first ever Super Bowl banner. Two, watch the Eagles play for 30 minutes, and then typical Philadelphia, boo your team off the field at halftime. That's what happened.
Down 6-3. By the way, both teams penalized for over 100 yards last night.
So it was a bad game.
Yeah, it was a
terrible
game.
It's a bad game. Were you interested at all in the fact that there was no national anthem protest? Right? There was nothing. Philadelphia Boys to Men sang it. I think they are from Philadelphia.
They are.
And I think I was a little bit surprised. There was nothing. Yes, no?
I didn't even notice.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know that it's... I mean, some games you're going to have them, some games you're not. It's not like every game had protests last year.
Did they carry the anthem live? I wasn't watching at the beginning. I was doing one of my many television responsibilities.
I saw it this morning.
I'm not sure if it was live to tape, but right. I think the choice of Boys to Men was a very smart political move.
Smart choice. Yeah. The only thing better would be if Kevin Hart joined them.
I would have been there for the beginning of the game, but at 8 p.m.
I went to Goodfellas.
I saw Goodfellas.
Talk about that later.
Son, and that kept me for
I jumped to Goodfellas. In other important sports news for this show, Tiger Woods opens with a 62 at Aronimink, a Philadelphia.
Tiger.
Very, very fine Philadelphia course. Opens with 62. I guess is tied for the lead at the moment. That's -8. Now it's Thursday. It's not Sunday, but it's exciting. And the last few weeks are the tournaments to get ready to winnow the field down to 30 for the finals in Eastlake in Atlanta. And, Michael, I would just ask you this. I don't know. When Tiger announced he was going to go full-time back on the tour 6 or 7 months ago, I would not have bet that he would be in the top 30 and play in Atlanta. I would not.
You had no sense that his form would return so quickly. If you think back to where we were about a year ago, you're getting the video of him in gym shorts chipping in his backyard.
Yeah.
And now you're looking at this. He's had more competitive rounds than he even thought he would have. Now the big worry is he able to just keep up with the heat and sort of the lack of strength that he's feeling at this point of the season? But this is a huge comeback. And the entire field is energized by seeing him play well. Watching the players react to him is an even bigger story than what he's doing. Everyone wants to see him win.
So my position would be this, and I have this position about women's tennis, with the exception of Sharapova, that everybody else in women's tennis would love to beat Serena Williams, but it's okay if they lose to her. They would just like to play her. I think all these young kids, the Dustin Johnsons and the Brooks Koepkas and the Jordan Spieths and the Justin Thomases, I think they'd love to beat Tiger, but it's okay if they lose to Tiger because they grew up idolizing Tiger. It's okay. They want to see him do well.
Do you think Patrick Reed wants to lose to Tiger?
I don't know about Patrick.
Patrick Reed just wants good seats at a Red Sox game.
What do you think?
No, I was going to say, watch the way that all these young players finish, the way that they release the club and hold on to it at the end.
Like
that is a Tiger move, and they readily admit that.
Yeah. So, but do you get that sense that they're joyful?
Yes.
That Tiger's good. They don't want to see Tiger be terrible. They don't. It's
hurtful. And you did not want to see Tiger come back and be a crippled form of his former self.
Willie
to
Mays.
To see him
he's
back
not
with
that.
Speed.
Right. He's right. Not so a
you
relic.
Don't, no one wants
he's
to see
leading
that.
The tour. He's near the top in terms of strokes gained with his short game, which is something that you really thought
you
he had
thought
lost.
You thought he'd put it in the water all the time or something like that. Now, what about the change to the Scotty Cameron putter?
This is the biggest marketing ploy. And if you're Scotty Cameron, you are leaning back in your chair just laughing, saying you might run away, but you're always coming back.
Right.
And if you're TaylorMade, you clearly are angry about this just because you're willing to make this huge putter release based on what he was going to play. But it all comes down to what is comfortable. He has a quote yesterday. He just goes, felt really comfortable with the putter, just feeling it, just feeling the release, just track into the hole. And it just shows you how much something that you play with over your career just is part of your golfing DNA.
Yeah. All right, we will get out of here for the opening segment. We will come back. Barry Svrluga will join us. We will talk about the Nats a little bit. But talk about football. He's apparently not thrilled with football anymore, and we will ask him about that. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
You're listening to The Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is the first Leaf ad. I get this wine.
Yes.
I have left the cardboard identifications of the wine bottles with Michael to give to the wine tyrant to go on the website to
the
rate
cards.
The wines.
Yeah,
the rating.
That was more confusing than it had to be. I think.
Everybody knows that person who hypes up their bottle of wine. They get you excited with the fancy French name. But when you actually try it, you want to say, you paid what for that? Friends don't let friends go broke on overpriced wine. With First Leaf, there's a better way to discover the wines you like most. First Leaf has created a club experience customized to you down to an individual level. By rating the wines you receive, as I do through the Wine Tyrant, First Leaf determines your likes and dislikes, and using a custom algorithm and wine concierge team, and I really hope they have uniforms if they're on the concierge team.
Must.
They only send you wines that you will love. I got started with First Leaf by answering three quick questions about my wine drinking preference, in which I said red red, and red.
And maybe red.
First Leaf created an introductory three-pack of wine based on my flavor profile. The best part was I got all three for just $5 each, and these wines should go for about 20 bucks. When my bottles arrived, I tasted and then rated them online. I did not. I had Michael do it. First Leaf took my ratings and selected new wines based on my taste for my next shipment. My shipments only get better the more wines I rate, so try First Leaf Wine Club today, where buying great wine is simple. Sign up with my personal link and you'll get an exclusive introductory offer. It's three bottles of wine for only $15 plus free shipping. And that's not all. If you rate these three wines, you'll get an extra $10 off your next box. It's crazy not to rate them because that helps them determine what kind of wines you like. So go to tryfirstleaf.com/Tony. That's try, T-R-Y, First Leaf, FirstLeaf/Tony.
You're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is Nick Raug, who has graced us with his songs before. This is a new single he put out on SoundCloud called Just Wait, in the hopes of being played once again on the show. Thanks for your time, and I hope you enjoy. We always enjoy.
We do.
Our original music, and everyone says this, it's great.
It's astonishing.
I mean, there's no real reason to listen to me. But if you go to the end of the podcast, you get to hear in entirety these wonderful songs that we play, such as this by Nick Raug. Barry Sverluga joins us now. Do you have a new dog?
In the right place right now.
Uh-huh.
So I'm chasing her around the house while I'm doing this.
Why are you chasing the dog?
Because the dog is going to chew every single thing I know. Oh.
That's what dogs do. That's their move early on. They chew. That's why you have to, I don't know, take their teeth out or something. I don't know what
well,
you
that's,
do.
That's humanely, of course.
Yes. House
yeah.
And get them back in the kitchen and give them like a peanut buttery thing.
Give them bones, like big, thick bones to gnaw on. You know, don't give them those rawhide things because sometimes it makes them have
what
diarrhea.
Breed of animal, Dan?
What kind of dog you got?
This is a yellow lab. She's a girl.
Okay.
Fun. They're fun.
And she's called Sunny?
She's called Sunny, my daughter.
Jurgensen?
As an eight-year-old, named her on the way to the camp to pick her up. So we lost not only to the propaganda campaign getting a dog, we lost on the name as well, which was predictable on both counts.
Well, you could have named the dog Walker and then called it Bootsy. You could have done that. Your phone is terrible. You're running around. Find a good spot where your phone is good. Let the dog eat your furniture. It's a newspaper salary furniture. It's not that good. I did this in my life.
Just for curiosity's sake, Barry, can you do a Baltimore accent just to see how Sonny reacts?
Well, yeah. Just curious. I wondered about that. I mean, the first thing when Nigel texted me yesterday, it's like, well, wait a second. Is my dog going to behave correctly at the end of my appearance? It's obviously got to be a bit now.
Just stay in that spot. Stay there. Talk into the phone. It's a Bob Ryan situation. You wrote a column the other day. I mean, I got on this show last 2 days, and I basically said, thank God for football, because it drives business to the bar, and I really like watching it. For all of its flaws, I really like watching it. But you have larger doubts than I do. You're holding yourself back. What is your feeling right now about football with all that we've learned in just the last 2, 3, 4 years?
So I don't know that it's doubts. Like, I like watching the game. But it's harder and harder when you know what the ramifications down the road are health-wise for these guys, for me to say, wow, what a big hit on third down, and that guy made just an amazing play, and not think, oh, what are the ramifications for that guy who's lying on the turf now?
Mm-hmm.
Not for next week's game, but for 2 years, 5 years, 10 years down the road. I love the strategy. I love the spectacle. I love the fandom. I just have a hard time, and this has nothing for me to do with anthems or protests. It has everything to do with concussions.
Are you moved at all by players saying, we know the risks, We willingly take these risks. We love playing this game. We get it.
I am, yeah. I'm not even... It's not a protest. It's not like I'm never going to watch it. It's more a mixed feeling thing. And I understand it's free choice. And I understand it's, you know, like a smoker is taking a risk for his own personal pleasure. And that's not, it's different because it's not a livelihood and it can affect other people around them. But it's just my own personal visceral reaction in the moment of not being able to separate what I'm seeing in the game and the strategy involved and what the play in front of me, how that matters to the game, and what we know about these players down the road. And some of it also is not just, you know, say the Sam Huffs of the world from years ago in their 70s and 80s, but guys who have recently retired, the Santana Mosses, who are saying, you know, wow, I remember that game where I blacked out everything in the second half, and now I can't remember what my wife wanted me to get at the grocery store, and I'm scared because I don't know if this is going to get worse. Is this just me getting a little bit older and it's normal slippage, or...
Yeah.
Did all those hits add up? And I'm only in my late 30s or early 40s, and I feel messed up.
This is in the movie Patton, which George C. Scott played General Patton and won an Academy Award. He looks at a battlefield at one point, and he says, God help me, I love it so. And I've said that about boxing, which has disappeared from mainstream American sports for sure. And I say it about football, and I'm not playing it. So it's not going to affect me, but I do, you know, Barry, I love to watch it. And I know I don't know where it's headed. I don't think it's headed into a good spot, although it seems to me that if you wanted to try to save it, you would remove the helmets. You know, you would. You'd remove the helmets because people are not going to lead with their heads if they don't have some semblance of thinking that their heads are protected. What do you think?
Well, I mean, that's an argument that is made, should be made. Rugby people make that, you know, that you don't have this sort of issue in rugby because there are no helmets and people learn a different fundamental. But is the cat out of the bag here? Like, in that, can you ratchet it all the way back to
don't know
saying, well, we've made all these safety advances with the helmet and with instituting rules about how to tackle, and go all the way back to kind of a prehistoric time where maybe they're wearing like a leather strap thing over their head and a no face mask. You'd be fundamentally overhauling the sport in one summer if you did that. I'm not sure that's practical.
I don't think that's
going to
happen. In any event, though, I know that you will find yourself watching and loving it at various points during the season. I mean, because it's thrilling. Don't you know what I mean? It's a thrilling sport. Like that the goal line stands last night. They were great. They were great. Don't you think?
Oh, there's no doubt. And and that's why I kind of wanted to write it early on. So to kind of get it out of the way and then be able to be at the college football playoff and say, holy cow. I mean, Alabama just beat Georgia in overtime. And Nick Saban made this incredibly gutsy move at halftime to go to a freshman quarterback and just deal with the football part of
it. Yeah, you get your feelings on the record.
I'm not going to write this over and over and over again.
Good.
But I wanted to write it at least once because it's honestly how I feel.
We disagreed a couple of weeks ago. We disagreed completely. You were in favor of the Nats dumping a bunch of players. I thought it was crazy. I thought they were still in it. I thought they were going to try and sell tickets to home games against division rivals. And they got rid of Murphy. Matt Adams came back to bite him two nights ago. And all the other things that they did. I now see that Boz... with some revisionism, is saying that it was a bad thing to do. At least I said it at the time, and you went the other way. Are you still confident that that was the right thing for the Nats to do?
You know, no, you got me here. I'm not going to deny that that's exactly what I believed at the time and what I wrote at the time.
Yeah.
The bet through the original July 31st trade deadline was against the Braves and the Phillies, and that they weren't going to get better and that the Nats would kind of rise to their predicted level. That didn't happen for the next 2 weeks. I think they had won two series since the end of May. They were not moving forward at all. So I think the argument was fine at the time, but what has played out since is what you had predicted. Murphy would look good in that lineup right now.
Yeah.
And those bullpen pieces might have won them three more games at this point. And those three games would really matter. So sometimes you're wrong, right? I mean, if you take a side, sometimes it's not going to work out. And that didn't work out on my side.
The other day, Mike Rizzo backed Davey Martinez and said he has not even considered the possibility that Davey Martinez would not be the manager, and praised Davey Martinez. I think he'll probably be back because, you know, I just think he will. But I'm going to ask you as a columnist, would you fire Davey Martinez?
Boy, this is one I'm thinking about over the next 2 weeks. I mean, it's a very, very difficult spot because I think it's quite possible they did not make a good choice. But they also have had this situation where, you know, they've won these four division titles under three different managers. It's really a franchise that has shown it does not value the position of manager.
That's right.
They signed a guy who had never managed the game to a three-year deal with the expectations that were nothing less than winning a World Series. They've got to see something that I don't see in his development, because it's not, hey, we want you to develop with this developing team. It's, we feel like we have a championship contender year in, year out, with Harper, without Harper, and you need to get us over that hump. And it's not by bringing camels to spring training. I mean, that is over. It's a very, very difficult position because how the rest of the sport sees them just chew through managers, and you wonder if a Joe Girardi would have want to come within, you know, 1,000 miles of here.
Well, he would have asked for $5 million a year on a 4-year minimum guarantee, and they're paying less than $3 million for three full years from this guy. So, I mean, I maybe that's a big consideration. I'll get you out of here on this. You were early on this at Maryland that a lot of people had to go. We're going into the second game. We don't hear from Maryland. We don't hear anything from Maryland. There's a great effort by the team. Great result for Matt Canada. Probably makes DJ Durkin look good in the sense that he knows how to recruit players. But what is going on there, and why is the Washington Post not writing every day what is going on there?
I mean, I think they ran out of reporting that would say that anything is going on. I mean, my big question is they've put together, the Board of Regents put together this panel to look into the culture question, not the medical question, but the culture question inside the football program, which is the reason that the strength coach resigned and the reason that Durkin is on administrative leave. That panel, which includes Doug Williams,
who cannot give it 5 seconds of thought because he actually has another job. You know,
it's
just
crazy. It is crazy pants that they said, well, this guy should help us evaluate this situation. How seriously are they taking it? I mean, Bonnie Bernstein might be eminently capable of doing this, but how are they getting these people together? I asked this question of the Board of Regents. When are they meeting? How are they meeting? How often are they meeting? Are people are sitting in front of them as an entire panel, or are they meeting with them individually? And the Board of Regents said, we have entrusted them to do this. They are to go where the evidence takes them, and we therefore don't have access to their schedule. So
it's terrible.
It's insane to me.
It's terrible.
Insane.
Yeah, the evidence is going to take Doug Williams to Redskin games because that's his actual job. It's stupid. All right. We'll see you soon. Thank you, Barry. Good luck with the dog.
Thanks, Tony. Appreciate it.
Barry's Verluga, yep. Boys and girls. We will take a break. We will come back with news. And allegedly, James Carville will join the show. And James will make a few bets, right? Is that what we are believing?
Yes, I've been in communication with him, and he should be with us.
All righty. Okay. And we'll get out of here now. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
This is the Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is the Spotify read. I did the version 2 yesterday. It says host reads, host to riff off the script that appeals most to them, version 1 or version 2. So I did version 2 yesterday. I'm going to do version 1 today. Do you know that every single episode of the Tony Kornheiser Show is now on Spotify and that the new Kevin Sheehan Show would hope to be on Spotify as well? Yes, the same app that has millions of songs now also has thousands of podcasts. On Spotify, you can listen to all your favorite shows, like this one, or discover new ones like Kevin's, but not too many others because we get jealous easily. To subscribe to our show, search for The Tony Kornheiser Show, then tap follow, F-O-L-L-O-W, and get every new episode delivered to you. Podcasts on Spotify, they're streaming right now, and now, and now.
This is the Tony Kornheiser Show.
All right, we've had tremendous technical difficulties. People who are sitting in chatter understand this. We started out with James Carville, and then it crashed completely, and now we're back with James, and we're going to pretend that we're starting again because that's the way do it in the real world. It's such a great thrill for me to have Carville on the show, no matter what he picks. If he picks Alabama A&M over Troy State, if he picks from colleges I have never heard of in my life, it's great to have you. Tell me what you're thinking about first or second week college football.
Historically, it's a terrible card, and it lives up to its billing. It's a terrible card.
But right.
The best game is that Clemson's going to A&M. I like A&M. Jimbo Fisher played Clemson, you know, every year when he's at Florida State. He knows the personnel. He's at home. Now, they're playing, you know, one of the best teams in college football, but they're getting 12.5 points. I would just take it in that instance. I mean, he's got to justify a $75 million salary.
Yes.
He wants to come out and shoot and do it. I like A&M. There's not much else got interesting going on in college football this weekend. In the pros, the Vikings are a hot pick. They last minute went over Saints, or the heartbreaking playoff losses we ever had. But I think the 49ers are a team on the way back, and they're getting 6.5 and wherever they play it, south of San Francisco, somewhere like the Silicon Valley. But I will take the 49ers and take the points. Kind of like them.
That game's in Minnesota, James.
Yeah, that's in Minnesota.
I'm the Vikings. Yeah, right. I'm sorry.
You want to buy the half point to get it to 7?
I'll buy the half.
Okay.
Buy the half. You're right. Okay. Yeah. I mean, and the Steelers and the Browns. The Steelers, you know, they're the Steelers. I think the Browns are going to be better this year. I think they're going to win 5 or 6 games, but they're not going to win this one. So I like the Steelers. Looking at 4 points here, is that right?
Sure, that's available.
-4, yeah.
Generous line, but we'll give it to
so
you.
So let's do this. The Steelers, the 49ers, and the Aggies.
Tell me about LSU. Tell me how good you feel as an alum of LSU, the way they started.
I feel good about Joe Burrow. What bothers me a little bit is maybe Miami wasn't as good as we thought.
Right.
Know that.
Right.
I mean, they got a lot of players, but they lost their last game of the regular season and lost a bowl game. They were ranked number 8, so they're not bad. We don't know next week. I mean, LSU travels to Auburn. That's a big game. That's a really big game.
How about the way the SEC West opened? How about, I mean, all those teams doing so well?
Yeah, yes, did it. They all did very well. And, you know, it's traditionally, and it is the best division in college football. I think I don't think anybody would argue with that. But our problem is this. If, you know, who do we play in the East? Well, we play Georgia. Thank you.
Yeah, they're great. Florida. They're great.
And we play Florida.
No.
I bet you Alabama, and of course Alabama will play Vanderbilt and Kentucky. I mean, if you don't think they run that conference, you better think again. You just go look at I don't care. Why do we never play Vanderbilt? We're supposed to play them sometimes, huh?
It doesn't seem fair, does it? It doesn't.
No, it doesn't. No,
it doesn't seem fair. But
Miami, in the often, you got to run the whole. Oh, hey, watch Mississippi State.
Yeah,
Mississippi State is legitimately good.
Their coach Mullen left, right? He went to
he's
Florida.
He's in Florida,
but he's good. He was a very good coach. He built a very good program.
He's been a very good program. Yeah. The best coach in college football maybe in the history of college football is a guy at Kansas State.
Snyder.
You go and look what you look at when he was there, and he left, yeah. and then he came back. And you can see what happened when he was there before. You can see what happened when he left, and you can see what happened when he came back. But if you can win football games in Manhattan, Kansas, you're a good coach.
Bill Snyder, he's old. He's as old as I am. I'm happy for him.
So you and that's why we like you.
I like him very much. All right, we'll talk to you next week, and we hope that you're 3-0 by next
week. We can't convince him to take UL Monroe?
He's not taking UL Monroe.
Gutsy of him to come on here and not do the picks ominously, too.
Right.
Ooh la la.
Ooh la la.
Thank you, James. All right, so what happened here, and I'll repeat this again.
It's a failure. Oh, sorry.
We had to reset the board a number of times. Everything sort of was lost. We normally would begin this segment with a song. So what we're going to do now is fold in the song right now.
Sure.
Like that's the way to go. All right. If you give me the copy on the song, that'll make me very happy. Play the song now. We're just going to go out of order. It's Tony Mimmel's song.
Yeah.
You know. All right. Well, Nigel is like going crazy. I mean,
but he always figures it out.
It's not his fault. It was a difficult hand he was dealt there to play.
We don't blame Nigel for this.
No.
Well,
no.
We do.
We'll save the blame for his newscast.
This is sent to us by Barb Brandt, who works with the Nashville singer-songwriter Tony Mimmel. His music is Americana folk rock, and we know the listeners will enjoy it. This is a song from his latest album, We'll Be On the Radio. This is the critical stuff that I'm going to read to you now. Tony Mimmel was born missing his left forearm and hand. Despite this challenge, he taught himself to play the guitar by constructing a self-made cast out of Gorilla Tape that secures a guitar pick to his arm.
Tremendous.
And he's an ambassador with the nonprofit organization Lucky Finn Project, a support group for children with hand and limb differences. He also teaches adaptive guitar lessons to students with physical differences and helps them to develop unique custom methods and devices that allow them to play. This song is Will Be On The Radio. You can find out more about him at TonyMemel.com. As with all the fabulous music that we have, you can hear it in its entirety at the end of the show. And Michael, if people want to send in original music, how do they do it? Or their friends' original music.
You can share your music with us by emailing it to jingles@tonycornizershow.com.
That Tony Mimmel story reminds me of the Colin Kaepernick ad, which the 1 minute version aired during the game last night. I don't know if you've seen it or
I've seen it, but I didn't see it during the game.
Yeah, it's a nice ad. It's cool. Yeah. I like it. It's a very powerful. I mean, I feel like we're sort of in a climate where you can't admit liking it with someone without someone thinking you're making a political statement. Well,
you can
which
say
I'm not,
I like the way the ad
just
was constructed.
Yeah, just as a, right. as a it was a good video ad. Professional, ad. I like
yeah,
the ad.
It's a good ad. Yeah, it's a good cool. ad. Are we selling anything?
We have a reset the board to zero.
Which we needed today.
More timely than ever.
Yeah.
Surprised we're not out of them.
Maybe we will after this weekend.
Do you have some
James.
News?
Yes.
Do you have news?
I do. But before I get to the news,
we're not going
to
do a lot of news.
I have a question for you. I was interested in going somewhere this weekend because I love football to watch the game and maybe have some drinks and some good
Chatter!
Food. Chatter, would that be the place to
that
go?
That would be the place. Chatter was the place last night. Chatter is the place right now.
And I would highly recommend you pick up a plastic party pint when
yes.
you're there.
Just get discounts all the way down the line.
That's right,
we're yeah, trying that's to move right. refrigerators and color TVs.
Mr. Yeah. Tony, looks like Serena Williams is back in the finals at the U.S. Open.
That's
she
your lead?
Beats Anastasia. Yes, it is my lead. Yes, Sevastova, 6-3, 6-love. She will be taking on Naomi Osaka,
who said she wanted to play Serena.
Well, sure. Why wouldn't
because
she?
Because she's Serena Williams.
Tell us, newsman, a little bit about Osaka.
Naomi Osaka, she actually played at the City Open. I had a chance to chat with her. She's a very talented youngster. Not what I would call the best interview that you will ever get.
Okay, that's enough.
She was a little bit disdainful of me, but that could have
been
me.
Well, so were we
did you get her name right?
I did get her name right,
yes. Because
you've
been known to
mess that up. Yes, I have been known to get that wrong from time to time. Mr. Tony, it was not a great night for the Nationals last night. They fall again to the Cubs.
I can't even bear to talk about them.
Daniel Murphy.
Strasburg, 111 pitches in 5 2/3.
Yeah, that's not...
Well, someone has a big Geo spot.
Yeah.
You know, just awful. Anyway.
This is a story I know you wanted to talk about. The Ravens kicker, Kare Vedvik.
He's a Norwegian, right?
Yes.
He's a native of Norway?
Yes, age 24, and he was on the Ravens roster and was kicking quite well in the preseason. Gary, you'd seen a bunch of...
Kicking and... He was an undrafted rookie. He kicked at Marshall. He was kicking and punting, averaged 48 yards a punt in the preseason. Now, there's... People have talked about this for a long time. You can save a roster spot, which is pretty valuable in the NFL if you can find a guy who can do both. No one really has.
But they got the best kicker in football.
Correct. He averaged 48 Tucker. A punt, kicked a 56-yarder in a game. I think it may have been against the Redskins.
And Justin Tucker
was kicking
is not going
70-yarders in practice. But the Ravens have done this in years past where they've just rested Tucker, brought in guys. Will Lutz, the guy who's now the kicker for the Saints, was in there under Ozzie Newsome had found him or somewhere in the office had found him. And they were actually getting trade offers for this kicker. Yes. That doesn't happen.
And then...
So over the weekend, he was with some teammates in the Fells Point area of Baltimore and early in the evening, and they said, well, we're going to go. And he said, well, I'm with a couple of ladies. I'd like to stay out longer. At just after 3 a.m., he called his teammates and said everything's still good, but something, he doesn't remember what happened, or he's saying he doesn't remember what happened between then and 4 a.m. when he was found by the police in an East Baltimore location where he was severely beat up. His wallet and his phone were missing, beat up to the point where he's in the Maryland shock trauma, listed in stable condition, but face is very swollen, and he probably will not play football this season.
Nothing good happens after 3 a.m.
It really doesn't.
Nothing good.
It really doesn't.
Go home.
Yeah. Harbaugh said that, my dad said nothing good ever happens after midnight, and, you know, this is hopefully a lesson learned by this young man.
At 4 a.m., you could almost argue it's before midnight. That's way after midnight.
What else you got?
Looks like the Storm and the Mystics will open up the WNBA Finals.
Kevin, who's liking that?
You know what?
What are the odds on that?
The Mystics are plus 245. I'm waiting for it to get a little bit higher, then I'm going to play them. I love them.
Really?
Yeah.
The other team's better, right?
Who's the other team again?
Seattle.
Well, so Seattle and Washington in an NBA final.
Well, it's
that happened many years ago.
Yes, but this is the WNBA.
Oh, okay. Is it best of three or five or seven or one game?
Do you know where they're going to play?
No.
They're not playing.
The new arena?
No, they're playing.
No, they're fixing up.
George Mason.
Yeah, that's where they've been playing.
George Mason.
That's where they've been playing the playoffs.
What about BCC? They've got some room.
I think they should play it at the Smith Center because it's cool.
Kevin is so fantastically dismissive of
Wilbon and Aldridge say they will watch every minute of this.
Oh, come on.
Game one is tonight at 9 o'clock.
Will you tune in at all tonight?
That's late for me.
One of my favorite Kip stories is the unnamed Mystic who would come play pickup with Kevin and the 50-year-old men at the gym. And
she was no better, honestly. Now, we were not in our 50s. Most of the guys were in their 30s at the time. But the Mystics used to come up and play at Bethesda Sport and Health. This is years ago. And typically, they were no better than the seventh or eighth player in a game. With a bunch of weekend hacks.
Deladon's better.
She would be fun to play with.
Deladon is better. Brianna Stewart.
But it's a different
Brianna
game.
Stewart was the four-time player of the year at Connecticut. She won four straight national championships. Brianna Stewart's better than you.
She couldn't get her shot off at Bethesda Sport and Health.
She's better than you. She's better than your boys. Come on.
Yeah, I'm sure. No.
You can get more hot takes like that on the Kevin Sheehan show.
Stitcher, Google Play, and Apple Podcasts starting today.
We call that
can't wait for the WNBA.
Sponsored by the Me Too movement.
One final note. Mike Isabella, the celebrity chef.
Whoa.
Who
overexpanded.
More than a dozen restaurants, several stands at Nationals.
He won Hot Chef, didn't he? Whatever that's
Top
called.
Chef.
Top Chef. Top Hot Chef. Hot
right,
Chef.
Yeah.
But in
Big Chef.
In the wake of a sexual harassment lawsuit filed in March and with this possible overexpansion, he has now filed for Chapter 11 bankruptcy protection for his business.
So there is a campaign on social media telling people not to boycott his places.
Yes.
And it has
telling
had,
him not to,
to boycott. Okay. Yes. It has had an obvious and enormous effect on his livelihood.
Yes, the Washington...
We're living in a different world. It's not... We're not living in a local world anymore. We're living in a global world almost all the time.
Yes.
So
there you go.
I mean, he's supposed to be... I've never eaten at any... Michael, have you eaten at any of his places?
I have. Yeah, he had a great sandwich shop at Nats Park, but the Nats were the first
They tossed
to drop.
Him.
Yeah, the Nats said, we're done. Yeah.
They tossed him.
Yeah.
That's different...
Different times.
You know, I don't... I don't know. I'm gonna know. All right, we're done with that?
We are done with that.
Wonderful. So yes. When we come back, we're going
to
have...
Apologies to all, but the...
yeah, it took a long time, which you're not aware of because...
Did we record all of this?
Do you think it's recorded?
Pretty much.
Yes, it appears to be working.
So we will have
Old
Guy Radio...
We didn't get a power surge during that newscast.
Old Guy Radio, when we return, Jeff Ma as well will pick some games for us, and then we'll talk briefly about Burt Reynolds, because that's a major passing in the culture. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
This is the Tony Kornheiser Show.
23andMe, this is their ad. It's a DNA testing service that can offer insights into your ancestry, health, wellness, and traits. The 23andMe Health and Ancestry Service includes a report on how your DNA can influence your weight, sleep quality, caffeine intake, sense of taste, whether you're likely to become lactose intolerant, and more. It's easy to do. Here's the sort of gross part. You simply spit into the tube provided in your 23andMe kit and mail your saliva sample back to the lab to be analyzed. Meshmu and saliva, mail them back. The bitter taste report and the sweet versus salty reports, DNA can play a role in determining your food preferences from sweet to salty to bitter. Well, that makes sense. The sleep reports, the deep sleep report tells you if you're more likely to be an especially deep sleeper. The sleep movement report tells you how much you're likely to move during your sleep based on your DNA. I mean, you could also get anyone sleeping in the room with you to sort of take pictures of you to see how much you move, if that's going to happen. The saturated fat and weight report tells you, based on your genetics, how your weight may be affected by saturated fats in your diet, and offers tips on which foods to watch out for if you're trying to eat less saturated fat. So all of these things, it tells you more about yourself, and it obviously tells you the indications of your life through your genetics. All right? You order 23andMe Health Plus Ancestry Service Kit at 23andme.com/Tony. Use the number 23 and then the letters and me.com/Tony.
You're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
Old Guy Radio for the day is Buddy Holly with the most famous song he ever did, Peggy Sue. This would have been Buddy Holly's 82nd birthday. Everybody knows, I assume, the song, the Don McLean song,
American Pie.
American Pie. That is about the death of Buddy Holly, J.P. Richardson, and Ritchie Valens. Buddy Holly was... Beatles loved Buddy Holly.
Yes.
I mean, it's a short career, sadly, and a small catalog, but it is spectacular music. Buddy Holly, Lubbock, Texas, I believe.
That's
right.
On that? Lubbock, Texas.
In a horrible motorcycle accident some years ago, and then appeared to lose his mind subsequent to
that. Yes, that might have been Gary Busey.
Oh, that's Gary Busey.
Yes.
Oh, I thought that was the...
No, that's...
Well, okay, well, I saw the movie about him.
Right, that's Gary Busey. Right.
By the way, this song originally was called Cindy Lou. It was going to be titled after Holly's niece, and then they changed it to Peggy Sue in reference to Peggy Sue Guerin, who was the girlfriend of Jerry Allison.
There's a great movie called Peggy Sue Got Married.
Yep. Oh, yes.
It's a great movie.
Nick Cage
is a very young
Catherine Turner.
Yes, yep. Terrific.
Go see it if you've never seen it.
Yes.
He goes, I'm the lead singer. It's really good. Jeff Ma, our predictive analyst, joins us now, and these are good times for Jeff Ma, because betting is going to be legal all over the country, right? So I would assume, I'm going to assume that this is good for you, or am I wrong in making that assumption, Jeff?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's good because people are probably much more comfortable talking about sports betting in mainstream media than they've ever been. I mean, it's always had to be something that's a little bit, you know, veiled. But I think that the United States is going to screw this up for 5 to 10 years.
Count on it.
And is going to... There's so many people right now that are trying to put their hands in the cookie jar, and they're going to make it really hard for these operators to really operate efficiently and competitively against the sort of black market operators, the illegal operators. And so I think it's going to be... a big mess for the next 5 to 10 years as the different states unveil things and the federal government tries to get involved and whatnot. So, yeah, I think it's good times because it's nice that people feel much more comfortable talking about something that people have been doing for many, many years. I mean, the fact that the NCAA and some of the other sports leagues are trying to talk about integrity, saying that all of a sudden now they need integrity for, you know, because sports betting has become legal and they're going to be able to see all the bets and see all the action that's happening. And, you know, it's silly, right? It's saying, yes. What
there was no integrity before, there was no need for integrity before?
No, it's preposterous. It really is. And I share your feeling that it's going to get worse before it gets better. And I suspect that people who have been comfortable for years and years and years betting outside what is now going to be a legal system will continue to do that, don't you think?
Yeah, I think so. And I think the problem, again, is that, you know, you have one business or one part of the business that's going to be taxed and regulated. And you even see it right now with some of the, you know, the sports books that are opening in New Jersey and whatnot. The pricing, meaning like the amount that they're charging, the VIG that they're holding, is much larger than the VIG of the illegal bookmakers. And that's going to make it harder for someone that's trying to put significant money or bet significant money to turn to a legal situation when they're perfectly happy with their illegal situation. And it becomes a question of, you know, like, how do you allow – it's sort of a classic innovation. If you create barriers to entry for innovation, you lower the ability or the amount of people that can that can enter into a market, and you lower their ability to innovate. So you're not going to have more innovative solutions. And, you know, the ultimate thing would be if the sports betting market became like financial markets, where there was a lot of money being funneled through here, because this would be a non-correlated market, which is something that all asset managers and hedge fund managers are looking for, a way to have put money into a non-correlated market. But it's so far from that right now. I mean, right now, especially in the U.S., you have, you know, people lining up and making $20 and $30 bets, and, you know, ESPN writing stories about how successful the industry is doing because there are people waiting in line to make $20 or $30 bets. The regulators are and the government's going to look up and say, like, where is the actual money from this? Because they're not going to see a lot initially because there just isn't enough people betting. And so they're going to have to do something.
You got some games for us? I enjoyed listening to that because I happen to agree with that. I think that you're going to get a lot of people who come in to, you know, buy a soda. You know, they're not buying a meal. They're buying a soda.
There's not millions. There's not trillions of betting dollars that are on the sidelines because it's illegal.
No, they're being bet now.
Right.
They're being bet now.
Real bettors, Tony, want convenience and credit, and that's not available at a sports.
Is that right, Jeff? You would agree with that, wouldn't you?
Yeah, I think so. And I think the other thing that's, you know, very, it's not talked about, and David Purdom from ESPN actually wrote a pretty good article about this. They are, just like they kick out card counters in blackjack, you know, winning bettors, they kick out winning sports bettors. And it makes it hard to get real liquidity in the sports betting market. The reason that there isn't, you know, more money being put into sports betting is because it's not allowed. Winning betting is not allowed oftentimes, and you have to find situations. And part of being a winning sports bettor is finding places to get liquidity. Like, you know, bettors call it outs. We're looking for outs, places to get money down.
All right, give us some games. Start us off.
All right, we're going to just stick with four NFL games. We're going to stick with the first game being the Chargers -3.5 over Kansas City. The downgrade from Alex Smith to Pat Mahomes is pretty big. It's mostly just because in order to project out someone like Mahomes, you have to look at the comps. And the comps of first-year starters are not very – it's not very pretty. And I think that people are underestimating that. So Kansas City is grading out to be a much worse team because they also lost a lot of people on defense. And their defense, which used to be a strength for them, is going to be a very big weakness for them. So I think the Chargers -3.5, saying basically the Chargers and Kansas City are roughly even teams, is wrong, and I think Kansas City -3.5. I'm sorry, the Chargers -3.5 has value.
Okay.
The next game is the Bucks +10 at the Saints. Again, you're getting value here because Jameis Winston is not starting, and people perceive Ryan Fitzpatrick, who went to Harvard and is smart, to be much worse than Jameis Winston. And it's just not that true.
Who put crab legs in his pants?
Sorry, that?
I said, who put crab legs in his pants?
Right.
As compared to the Harvard guy.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no. Well, I don't want to put it past the Harvard guy to put crab legs in his
pants. Whatever floats your boat.
Spoken by a true MIT grad, I'd point
exactly.
out.
Harvard is like the closest thing that we have to a rival. We have a rival, but the rivalry is they're basically one sided. We would love them for them to be our rivals. they couldn't give a crap about us down the river. So unfortunately, but you know, again, New England, New Orleans thing is a lot of people are counting them as one of the top teams, if not the top team going to NFL in the NFL, like Rufus Peabody, who I do my podcast with, that's the process. He is saying that they are his number one team going in to this year. So they're getting a lot of publicity, but I just think 10 points is too many points. And again, I think Fitzpatrick is more than serviceable and is not that big a downgrade from Jameis Winston.
Okay, what else?
The Cincinnati Bengals plus 2.5 at Indy. Now, Indy was one of the worst teams in the NFL last year, and obviously, like, the perception is that that was because they didn't have Andrew Luck. But it was more than just Andrew Luck. It was their defense. It was the rest of their team. It was their line, etc. And he's not going to save all these problems. He's not going to fix all these problems. I have high expectations for Cincy this year. I think they're a dark horse to win their division over Pittsburgh. And I think that, again, like saying these two teams are roughly even is not right. I think the Bengals are a better team, and I think getting 2.5 points is good value.
Okay.
And then finally, what we've all been waiting for, the Cleveland Browns plus 4 over Pittsburgh.
You're taking them.
It's hard for me to resist this. What's that?
You're going to take Cleveland.
Of course.
Yeah.
Of course. You would have like checked to make sure this is me if I hadn't taken Cleveland.
You took Cleveland a lot last year.
And it didn't help.
But they were terrible. But I don't know if they're going to be. I guess they'll be better. Yes.
Well, I think. I think they will win a game. So yes, they will be better. that's not saying a lot. But I think Pittsburgh's going to be down. Obviously, not having Le'Veon Bell. There's very few skill position guys like that that make that much of a difference. But Le'Veon Bell probably is about a half a point difference for Pittsburgh. Tyrod Taylor is upgrade, even though it's hard to believe, is a huge upgrade over DeShone Kizer.
DeShone Kizer is the worst pro quarterback I ever saw. The worst. He was terrible.
So then he's definitely an upgrade.
Yes.
I think this would be a good one for them. They're going to be obviously up for the game, being the opener and hungry for a win. And you know, Pittsburgh definitely has a little bit of indecision right now without Le'Veon Bell. And I think getting 4 points at home is some value on Cleveland.
You think they'll win outright?
Yeah, I mean, I think when you bet a team plus 4, you basically have a, you know, you think they have a decent shot to win outright. So, let's roll the dice on Cleveland to cover the 4 points and hope they win and get that first win.
Okay.
Get the monkey off their back, so to speak.
Plug your podcast for us. Tell people where they can get it.
Yeah, Bet the Process, available on the iTunes Store and Google Play, and it's a podcast about sports betting and analytics that I do with Rufus Peabody, who is probably one of the most successful sports bettors there is in the world. And we talk about everything from college football to NBA to NFL. And we started even giving out some picks on the podcast. So it's worth your listen, I think.
Thank you, Jeff. We'll talk to you next week, and we hope you're 4-0.
Good luck.
Okay, thanks, Tony.
Jeff Ma, boys and girls. That's so great to think that MIT kids hate Harvard kids. It makes me so happy to think that would be true, to make fun of Harvard
Everyone
kids.
Needs a rival.
I said that we would get to this, and we have to get to this. And this is Burt Reynolds, who died yesterday at 82, who was not known for great movies. He was known for his persona. The movies that people remember the most are Smokey and the Bandit and Cannonball Run. He played Billy Clyde Puckett in Semi-Tough. Was him and Chris Christopherson. Chris Christopherson played Shake Tiller in that. Dan Jenkins knew and liked Burt Reynolds very much. The good movies were Deliverance and Boogie Nights. It was in The Longest Yard. He played football himself at FSU. His roommate in college was Lee Corso. That was his roommate in college.
Wow.
But what he was, Burt Reynolds, he was on Johnny Carson all the time. In the old bits, I think people have missed that part. I think they concentrate on the movies. And I don't think they concentrate on the way he was transmitted to the American culture, which was with sitting with Johnny Carson 50 times a year,
right,
it seemed, and the great ability for self-deprecating humor with Burt Reynolds. I mean, Burt Reynolds, the lifestyle of Burt Reynolds in the 70s and 80s and 90s that lifestyle is frowned upon now. It is criticized now. I'm not going to say that it's better or worse or anything like that. This is the way society has moved. And people who are identified as rakes or playboys or not serious in their relationships with women, they are, you don't do that anymore. Right? You don't. That's fine not to do that anymore. But in Burt Reynolds' time, there was a different societal norm. And he seemed to be one of these people. Nobody ever said he was a great actor. Nobody said that, but nobody didn't like him, right?
So personal.
Didn't you get that sense that everybody liked Burt Reynolds?
Everybody did.
Everybody liked Burt Reynolds.
Absolutely.
And everybody, Tony, liked him
women,
in his movies,
men,
too.
Yeah, they just he had a winning personality. I mean, you know, in more recent years, God only knows how much plastic surgery he had, or because he was almost unrecognizable from the person that you remembered, which happens as we get old and we age and we're outside of the public sphere. But I am taken by the fact that in all of the sort of reviews of his life and the obituaries of his life on television, all the men and all the women liked him.
Yes.
Right. Super, super personable guy, very self-deprecating, which goes a long way. And
this stuff with Dom DeLuise, which has always made you laugh.
The Smokey and the Bandit movies, which I believe I was 7 or 8 when they came out. I mean, that was mid or late 70s. Like, even as
a kid, he was the biggest box office guy in the world for 5 years.
Even as a kid, you had a sense that, like, he was cool. Right. You know what I mean? Like, as a kid.
Point would be that even though now we would totally disapprove of his behavior.
Then wasn't now.
We wouldn't disapprove of him.
Right.
Because he was likable and winning.
Yes. I'm embarrassed to admit that I really only know of him through the lens of the Norm Macdonald SNL caricature.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Turd Ferguson.
But he was.
You've never seen the original Longest Yard?
No.
It's good.
Smokey
it's
and the Bandit,
fun.
Cannonball Run, none of that. Boogie Nights.
And see,
have you seen Boogie Nights?
Boogie Nights was far later in his career.
Yeah, that's not the guy.
That's not
we're talking
Reynolds.
About,
but like you talk about, he wasn't a great actor, and I wouldn't make that argument. But in Deliverance, that was a serious movie.
Yes.
It was one of his first movies, and he was terrific in that.
Well, this is the kind of thing that Bill Murray did.
Yes,
Bill Murray would do one or two very serious movies. You go, wow, Bill Murray's a good actor, and then Bill Murray would make you laugh.
Right.
Burt Reynolds existed on Earth to have a good time and make you laugh.
Yes. I'm trying to think of like somebody who engenders that goodwill, and he's a far more serious person, but it's like Clooney-esque in that like you just feel good about him, but he had a little bit of that clown streak.
But
him,
nobody is going to write about Burt Reynolds and rip him. They're just not going to do it.
No.
Cuz he was great fun to watch.
People like being
and
around
him. And I guess I don't know why most of these things don't talk about the Carson stuff. Because that's how you're delivered to the culture.
Especially, I mean, back then, that was,
although people don't remember Johnny Carson.
Yeah. Oh, come on.
Well,
3 networks and he was on all the time and one of Carson's favorite guests. Always.
Michael is 32 years old. Do you have any sense of Johnny Carson?
Just through stories, but I never was watching that late night show.
So there's an entire group of people who are 40 and down who probably don't know Johnny Carson at all. But Burt Reynolds, fun.
And by the way, a relatively unknown movie he did that's a terrific watch is a movie called WW and the Dixie Dance Kids.
Yeah, I know that movie.
Yeah, it's a fun movie. If people haven't seen that, go out and watch that as well.
Yeah, and Ned Beatty shows up in almost all of his movies, it seems.
Exactly.
The serious ones and the not-so-serious ones. So we will take a break. We will come back with a jingle and with some email. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
You're listening to The Tony Kornheiser Show. The Tony Kornheiser Show.
Watch out. Deer might get my tomatoes. Hey, Michael, our harvest might be in danger. Like any ordinary guy, I bought the little house. Wait, what? He just bought that house outright. Wait, what? It sits there, no one's in it. Who knows just how much did he pay for the little house? Here's the thing, this idea's nuts. I guess it's something he can't afford. No one else can live near. Fawns get close but not too far as Jesse wrecks the sod in your yard. Michael, come fix the wire.
This is John Fitzpatrick, of course. One of the smartest people we've ever had. These songs makes us very happy. Let me thank Barry Zwerluga, The Washington Post, James Carville, our predictive genius, Jeff Ma, for coming on with us today. Let's thank the sponsors, 23andMe, First Leaf Wines, Spotify. Remember to listen and subscribe to new and archived episodes of The Tony Kornheiser Show, wherever you listen to podcasts, including Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Google Play. If you listen to the show through iTunes, please leave us a review. Let's remind you that The Kevin Sheehan Show debuts
later today. It'll be available iTunes, wherever you can get a podcast. It'll be there.
All right, from lawyer little Rich Walsh in Scranton, Pennsylvania, which I know well, straight up 81, about 70 miles south of Binghamton. I will be in D.C. next Friday, September 14th. I heard you're not doing the pod that day, so if you can just send me your address, my wife and I will stop by for breakfast, and you can talk at us about the majority of a movie you watched, where Harper will play next year, or if you've decided to put a flashlight next to your bed in the event of another power outage. Once you start the golf tournament story, we will know it's time to leave. Oh, my wife will only eat eggs if they are scrambled. David Jones, my son, who is a professional in emergency management, me an email from their meteorologist showing the potential for a hurricane to hit the East Coast. Me, I'll wait to see what Kevin says. Son, who's Kevin? Me, he's the weather guy for Mr. Tony. Son, the Tony Kornheiser Show has a meteorologist. Me, well, he's actually a recently unemployed sports radio guy, but he does weather on the side for the show. Son, silence. Me, yeah. I roll with Kevin.
Side busking.
Updates on the Kevin Sheehan Show on Hurricane Florence.
Oh, wow. From over Cody Wirkala in Portland, Oregon, Mr. Tony continues to read the Lowe's ad and continues to amaze me. Today I found out he knows what DIY stands for. It's absolutely incredible. Do it yourself. I do.
Do it yourself.
I do. Yes. I do know that. Did I mention, by the way, that I got on to... Goodfellas last night, and yes. It is such a great. I mean, I know that Martin Scorsese won the Oscar for The Departed.
But Goodfellas.
Goodfellas is twice, three, four times as
agreed.
Good.
Agreed.
Joe
Much
Pesci
better.
Is as a psychotic killer. It's
Tommy.
It's yeah. a really good movie, isn't it?
Best ever.
It's yeah. just a...
Can't turn away.
And Ray Liotta, who's...
That's his
it. He's
that was
born. His yes. He was born to be Henry Hall.
Yeah.
Born to be Henry.
Now he's doing a quit smoking commercial or something.
I thought
right?
he does tequila commercials.
Yeah, he does them too. I saw him in a pharmaceutical.
Hill, from John Adams, not that thing. John Adams, from Hoover, Alabama. Hopefully I'm enjoying my third straight morning of breakfast here at Chatter over there.
There you go.
As you read this, as it is for a for-profit establishment, I hope my wife and I have contributed appropriately. Yes. The breakfast and the service have been wonderful. I told the woman to whom I'm related by marriage that Michael's inheritance is inextricably tied to the success of Chatter and
thank
that
you.
We had to do our part. We don't want Michael destitute and roaming the streets. We hope you enjoy the Kaneka sausage. Did I get it? Yell it. Kaneka.
Okay.
It's got a nice little kick to it. Thank you and the crew for all the years of entertainment. From Derek in Pittsburgh. We just made the switch to Comcast Xfinity.
Ooh.
I wasn't home for the install, and when I asked the woman to whom I'm related by marriage where the channel guide was, she told me they don't leave them anymore. So at your earliest convenience, could you tell me the channel numbers for ESPN and Hallmark? I won't use the TV until I hear from you. ESPN's 850. And they go 850 all the way up to 853. Hallmark, Carol knows.
Yeah.
Hallmark is a plague on the culture. The 830s at Hallmark?
So. Channel 1.
From Teresa LaHaye in Springfield, Missouri. So we're rating candy now? Please accept the definitive ranking of spice drops. Yellow, white, red, green, purple, orange. I cannot move to one color unless the previous color has been consumed in its entirety. And orange will always be last. But I'm sure that's a subject for the third hour of the show today. That is exactly how I am.
With gummy bears?
The whole colors?
I only eat whatever I pour out in my hand.
You eat one color at a time?
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
Well, that's
absolutely.
An OCD trait.
Absolutely. From Mary Faye Randolph. Come on, Grandpa. Even Texas fans like myself weren't surprised that Maryland beat Texas. Your ESPN colleague, Mack Brown, left the cupboard bare. And Charlie Strong and Tom Herman were probably ill-advised hires, both totally over their heads as head coaches at a place like Texas. So even though this little was not surprised, it is painful to hear you discuss this loss ad nauseum. 3 days in a row. Every day it's the... Lost to Maryland. Holy God Almighty, is it possible just once we could go one podcast around here that's not the lost to Maryland? P.S. Under my bed, a Little League Louisville slugger wooden bat given to me by my grandfather when I was very young.
Any knife?
Never had to use it. Next to my bed, a flashlight. Use it once or twice a year. Jeff Falk in York, Pennsylvania, regarding the Lowe's read. Certainly we all know that a 120-tooth ratchet will have a 3-degree arc. A 360-degree rotation with 120 teeth is simple Gary math. 360 divided by 120. Come on, man. It's not like we're trying to hit a baseball here. That is a brilliant email. If you're out on your bike tonight, everyone, as always, do wear white.
You know what ought to happen to them?
What?
They ought to be stabbed by cocktail
stools. Thanks, everybody. Thank you.
Yeah.